Reports have emerged that a group of queer rights protesters have been attacked by a mob in Sydney while they were gathering to rally against New South Wales One Nation leader Mark Latham's anti-trans policies outside a church he was speaking at in Sydney's southwest. This comes days after a group showing up for trans rights clashed with anti-transgender campaigners outside of Victoria's Parliament, following a talk by controversial UK gender activist Kelly J. Keane. During this incident, a group of around 30 men marched down Spring Street, repeatedly performing the Nazi salute. The Wire speaks to queer rights advocate Charlie Murphy from grassroots organisation Pride and Protest about the blatant rising wave of transphobia and violence towards marginalised groups.
In Sydney, there's been a number of anti-trans and anti-LGBT political actions that have been taken by some far-right group. One of these groups, their name is Christian Lives Matter, and they are a group of Christian activists that have mainly focused on anti-LGBTI actions in Sydney. They held a protest last Saturday, which took place in Hyde Park, which compared LGBTI people to pedophiles. Didn't just compare them to them, it's not what I called the community pedophiles. Mark Latham was due to speak at a church on Tuesday night in Belfield in Sydney's west, close to the inner west. And what had happened was that there was a peace counter-protest that was held by a small number of LGBTI activists, was not held at the church itself, was held nearby, before they had the opportunity to even start speaking and have a peaceful speaker for the counter-protest. They were essentially rushed by hundreds and hundreds of these male far-right thugs from the church. From there, they were assaulted, they had things thrown at them, they were punched, they were surrounded, eventually had to be extricated from the scene. But it was essentially a scene of a mass public gay bashing for political reasons on the streets of Sydney. It is quite a shocking development in the anti-trans activity that has been brewing in this country over the past couple of months.
Mm. And Australia's defence and security has found a rise in far-right extremism, as well as other sources finding a global increase in attacks by far-right extremist groups. What do you think the responsibility of governments in tackling this sort of violence is?
I think often so much of what you just said, you know, this information comes from intelligence agencies, you know, ASIO and police. At the end of the day, you know, it was only 3 years ago at a protest against Mark Latham that the police themselves were brutalising people on the streets of Sydney because they dared to stand for the rights of trans people. When it comes to what government can do, it's actually about defeating those people in power, those politicians that legitimise this kind of rhetoric and legitimise this type of behaviour and opinions in our society. You know, you had Matt Canavan on Breakfast TV in the morning in response to these attacks, saying that it doesn't think that, you know, people performing Nazi salutes in Australia is actually that bad. That's basically what he said, that he didn't really consider it that big of a problem. These people are trying to not only put forward an agenda where there is political power to crush people in LGBT people through institutions, but they also legitimise these groups in the language, in the way that they speak about it. You know, what should be clear and what comes out of this is we don't want, you know, more police force on the streets. You know, we're not asking for harsher penalties because we know that the police are not going to protect us. What we actually need is people like the Labor Party and the Liberal Party to say, at least at minimum, never any deals with far-right parties. One Nation cannot go into a power-sharing coalition on any cost because this is the type of violence that they produce. When it comes to the New South Wales election, which is on this Saturday, Labor needs to say loud and clear that they stand on the side of the LGBTI community and they will not be having any power-sharing deals with One Nation in the case that it comes to any form of minority government or power-sharing agreement.
Absolutely. And thinking about the ability of neo-Nazi groups in weaponizing right-wing ideology like transphobia and queerphobia and previously Islamophobia, what is the pertinence of standing in solidarity with the queer community?
Yeah, I think that what we need to recognize is that we are all suffering under the same system. As I had said before, you know, in the middle of a cost of living crisis, these kinds of far-right figures are trying to distract people from the actual injustices that are going on every day in their life. And so in order to stand side by side, actually what we need to be doing is we need to be fighting in our communities. We need to be fighting in our workplaces. You know, one of the things that in Pride and Protest we have talked about for a long time is the right to transition leave. You know, actually, on the whole, trans workers are massively disproportionately locked out of the formal economy due to discrimination in employment. One of the reasons is because of the giant cost burden that comes with transition. Actually, workers, trans workers, in order to be in the workplace, need to have the right to take paid time off of their job in order to go through any transition processes that they need to. So what it requires is organising within your community and organising in your workplace to say that not only we stand for trans people in the inclusion of those places, but not just for their inclusion, but for their material rights as well.
Grassroots organisation Pride and Protest's Charlie Murphy there speaking to The Wire. More information on how you can support trans and queer communities can be found on The Wire's website shortly.